Saint Bernard said, "Demons flee at the name of Mary, not because of the sound, but because of who it represents." Today on her feast, we uncover why her name shakes hell and comforts heaven. Stay tuned for a powerful reflection. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's story may inspire you in ways you didn't expect. A heartfelt thank you to our Protected Children of Padre Pio members. Your generosity allows these videos to reach thousands of souls, bringing hope, faith, and devotion to those in need. Not yet a member? Join today and become part of a powerful prayer community under the protection of Padre Pio. Receive spiritual graces, grow closer to God, and let this be your refuge in daily trials. Click the link in the description to begin your journey. Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you. Now let's move on to our story. Today we celebrate the feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. Many Catholics know Mary under titles like Our Lady of Fatima or Queen of Heaven, but do we truly grasp the power and significance of her holy name? The Church gives us this feast as a reminder that her name isn't just any ordinary name. It's a proclamation of her glory, a symbol of who she is in the eyes of heaven. To mark this feast, I'd like to share a penetrating reflection by Professor Plinio Cuera de Oliveira, one that exposes both the sublime glory of Mary's name and the shameful neglect it suffers today. His words are more than a meditation, they're a call to repair the dishonor done to our Queen. I found this reflection deeply moving, and I'm sure you will too. The professor writes, "The ancients considered the name as a kind of symbol of the person. The name is a symbol of the person's psychological, moral, and spiritual reality, the deepest part of the individual. For this reason, the Most Holy Name of Our Lady, like the Most Holy Name of Jesus, should be seen as a symbolic name of Our Lady's exalted virtue, her mission, and her true identity. The name of Our Lady is the affirmation of her inner glory, a declaration of her interior attributes. And because of this, the name of Mary is a symbolic manifestation of everything that is sublime in Our Lady. By celebrating her name, we celebrate the glory that Our Lady had, has, and will have in heaven, on earth, and throughout the universe. Regarding her glory in heaven, everything has already been said. She is the queen of all the angels and all the saints, placed incomparably and immeasurably above all creatures. In the created order, she is the summit towards which all things converge, and she is our mediatrix with God our Lord. The glory she receives because of this is simply inexpressible, for it stems from her being the mother of the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Our Lady glorified by the Holy Church on earth at least until the rise of progressivism. That glory seemed immense to us, but it was nothing compared to the glory she ought to have had. It is unbearable that she does not receive all the glory she is due. It is, in fact, the most hateful, disgusting thing that vice, crime, the revolution, human wickedness, and the devil himself succeeded in diminishing the glory she should receive from mankind. How can we feel at peace on this earth while she is being denied the honors and attention that are her right? This should be for us a continuous source of sorrow, more than sorrow, a source of great indignation, of enormous indignation at seeing the queen not being recognized for who she truly is. Let us ask Our Lady to accept our reparation for the offenses committed against her, offenses which she continually suffers. May she dispose our souls to make a complete reparation. But then the professor invites us to go even deeper. He says, "But we must also examine our conscience. We cannot ask Our Lady for forgiveness in a superficial way for what others have done, without also asking forgiveness for what we do, as if we approach her throne without guilt, as if we were spotless while others are full of fault. And this is something we must think deeply about." The professor then asks a profound question. What would perfect reparation look like? It would flow from complete love and a full awareness of everything Our Lady represents, everything she truly is. Not merely a theoretical understanding, but a practical, living, concrete awareness. Then we must ask ourselves, during our daily lives, while working, reading a magazine, or picking up a book, is our zeal for God's glory and for Our Lady's glory truly consuming us? Or are there moments when we are weak, lukewarm, when our personal interests, our ego, our countless sensitivities get in the way and cloud the zeal we should have for Our Lady's glory? Because if they interfere and cloud it, if we think too much of ourselves and too little of her, our reparation will not be as complete as it should be. And here comes the opportunity once again to turn to our guardian angels and patron saints, asking them to join us in offering a reparation that, by itself, we are too weak to give, so that it may be a worthy and true reparation, one that actually satisfies. I would suggest then that we pray for our reparation to be pleasing and prepare ourselves to be perfect repairers. I have great hope that, bringing these dispositions to the foot of Our Lady's altar, the result will be abundant graces from her, and that even if she cannot receive our reparation as it ought to be, she will at least receive our humility. And this humility we can and must lay at her feet. And with that, the professor concludes. If this reflection stirred your soul, please let me know in the comments below. Wishing you all a blessed feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. Mary, most holy, most powerful, most tender, pray for us.